Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 55 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Seeding the Spiritual Atmosphere, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So the seed will remember to die and grow. I want to, in the shifting of the atmospheres, we can see how the, you remember week before last how I covered how when the corn plant grows and the very growth of it shades the ground and those different type thoughts. All right, keep that in mind as we're moving. Now, when the seed dies and grows, the seed doesn't actually die. The seed, we use a terminology that it dies. It does die in the very fact that it is leaving the form and the shape that it is in. But the seed is actually storing the DNA of the plant, and the seed has to give up its present form so that new life might grow. And so therefore you have the spiritual reference to the seed is we are giving up life as we now know it so that we can grow into what produces a great harvest. Now, seed growing is always has in mind the harvest. There's a purpose in which the seed gives up its present life. Now, in the seed, if you actually saw the seed, you have what's called an embryo. And most of the seed is food. Most of it is the seed. If you sprout a seed, there's no need fertilizing it. If you're sprouting tomato plants or whatever type plants you're trying to sprout, there's no need to fertilize at that point because the seed's going to live out of, it gets its nutrition out of the seed, the plant does, for the first, that's according to the seed, but 3 to 7 days. It's gaining all of its growth and its nutrition out of the seed itself. But the seed has to agree to allow the embryo to be birthed. So when we were born again, we and the seed of God is within us, where we come into play here is we agree that what's been placed in us is now time to grow. It's now time to get on with it. And for seed to grow, it is saying yes to the fact that it is going to leave its present state and grow into another state, which, quotation marks, produces fruit. How do you know that you are a seed or the seed of God in you is growing? It is because you are producing fruit. Now, I'm not saying that to get on us. I'm just stating a fact of how you can measure where you are in your faith. There again, the end result is not for you to be something famous. The end result is that you produce fruit. Now, so remember, the seed to die and the seed to grow, and I tried to bring you a more clear biblical definition of that seed that's dying. Now, what is happening to us prophetically as a church right now? Here's what I think is happening to us. Here's where I think we are in this seed cycle. As a church and as a people, the seed must not be dormant, must be awakened. So, when the seed is in us, it's in our hearts. When it's placed in the ground and the atmosphere is conducive and everything is where it needs to be, then all of a sudden, when that seed's in a jar or in a packet, it's not awakened. But when you plant it in the ground, which is the reality of earth, when you plant it, you have been planted. But the seed has to agree to be awakened before it sprouts and starts to grow. Prophetically speaking, the enemy's ploy is to keep you from being awakened. That's the reason we called it historically the Great Awakening. All right? What's happening in the Great Awakening? In the Great Awakening, the seed is being awakened. And so if you say yes to your own personal awakening, what you are saying yes to is, God, I want to leave my present state, and I want to grow in your kingdom to help produce a great harvest. That's the story. That is the story of the Christian life. And if you will agree with God's story of what He is trying to produce here or is producing here, and how you as an individual can be part of His story, you say yes to being awakened. Now, I realize the world out here is really shouting to keep us dormant, to keep us from sprouting and growing. Can you imagine if every seed of God would sprout and grow at the same time on the planet Earth? How long would it take us from the earth being captured for Christ? So I submit to you this thought. The reason that's not happening is because the seed is laying dormant. The seed has to say yes. It has to say yes to grow and to produce this harvest. Now, let me move on. A seed is awakened as it dies. Now, awaken the seed so it may receive light. Now, here, go with me here. What keeps a seed from growing is it doesn't receive light. It has moisture, the ground, it's put in the ground, but the light produces a heat that causes it to grow. Then it comes through the ground by heat. Has anybody felt the heat of God lately? Uh-oh. The heat of God comes on us. We say yes. So God's just saying, sprout here, dear seed, just sprout. I'm putting the heat on you here. Sprout. But the heat is provided. We sprout. But we have to say yes to the light before the seed can sprout within the heat. Are you there with me? So, the heat of life comes upon us. It's not there that we want to retreat when the heat's upon us. Oh, God, look what the devil's doing to me. No, you sprout and you grow right through it. Why? Because the light is on the other side of the heat. Are you with me? Now, I'm just not making up a fairy tale here. I'm telling you a true spiritual reality. When the seed in the ground sprouts, it's sprouting off the heat, but it's reaching for the light. Yeah, are you with me? All the seed needs to sprout is heat, but it has to have it. But it says yes to the heat. There's certain seeds, some clover seeds, it takes them 14 years to say yes. They'll lay there in the ground for 14 years, and all of a sudden they'll sprout. Now, watch this one. It's one of the hardest seed known to men. How hard is your seed? Right, okay. Now, this is the scripture. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you, see it? Light. Light. The seed has to agree to be awakened before it gets the light. I've seen people sit under Bible teaching in church forever and ever and ever and not get it. Well, it's the light's there, but you're asleep. So to be awakened means we're saying yes to growing into a mature Christian. That's the reason I say to you, the harvest comes at maturity. God is looking for a people that matures. to produce harvest. That scripture is Ephesians 5:14. How do we awaken out of our sleep? Now, watch, go with me here. This is tremendously important. How do we awaken out of our sleep? You remember your story. Now, the seed's got to remember who it is. That's the DNA. The seed has to remember who it is. How can we do this? When the seed remembers who it is, it propels it to say yes. So therefore, the enemy tries to keep you from knowing who you are in Christ. The enemy tries to keep you in this fallen state because the enemy knows the moment you remember who you are, you're going to awaken. You see, when you stay beaten down, that's spiritual, you're remaining asleep. So the area of your life that you're beaten down, you're asleep in that area, and it's done on purpose by the dark side. Somebody knock him down. Awakened. To be awakened, you got to remember. Now, I want to show you something about how important prophetically this is. You must remember your story is who you were and who you are. Yeah, that's right. You got to remember who you were and who you are now. You don't forget who you were. You remember. Now, let me show you how this works. Remember your dreams, for they are who you are going to become. Remember. You got to remember who you were, who you are now, and who you're going to become. All of that's done through remembering. I want to show you how important. Alzheimer's, I think it's a disease out of hell. I think it's the big one. Why? Because Satan himself is trying to prove a point. Mankind can't remember. I think it's a demon out of hell. And I think you'll agree with me if I can get through this part this morning. Remember that just because you cannot see something does not mean it is not real. You always have to remember that as we're moving forward prophetically. You were created to remember. Genesis 1:27 says this. Tells us that God created man and woman in His own image. Y'all know the scripture. Genesis 1:27. God created man and woman. How? In His image. Now that truth is so vast and so big and so scary, we don't preach on it. We just kind of leave it out there. We don't know what to do with it. And I'm not claiming that I do, but I'm going to touch it just a little. In this passage, the word man, now watch it, is translated from the Hebrew word zekar, which means the remembering one. Now, come on, somebody. If you don't know what the Hebrew word for man is, the remembering one. And remember, we're created in His image. Remembering is what creates the prophetic gift of seeing. All right, remember this word from now till you meet Jesus in eternity. The word zekar. It's the Hebrew word for man. And it means the remembering one. So when God says that He created Zekar in His own image, He was saying God created the remembering one and the remembering one in His image. Wow. Now, the Hebrew word zekar, to remember, means this: to remember, recall, call to mind. Now, here's where you got to get to. The dark side has convinced us that our remembering is owned by us. Our remembering is the most biggest part of us that's like God. The reason God didn't want us to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is because He knew we would remember all of it. He just wanted us to partake of the tree of life and remember that. Now we find ourselves in this state of mixture of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's trying to help us sort it back out. Watch this one. Here's what this word zekar means. To be brought to remembrance, be remembered, be thought of, be brought to mind. To cause to remember, to remind, to cause to be remembered, keep in remembrance, to record. That's what man, the word, the name man means. To remember. Why do we come in here on Sundays? To learn things about God and to remember them. Your memory. When we have failed, when we've done things that we wish we hadn't, when we have sinned. When you get true forgiveness, God heals those memories. A broken memory is death, not life. So we take our sin to the cross of Christ so that those memories can be healed. Then, the last word in your memory with that set of events is what Christ did to redeem them. So therefore, you have a complete memory of failure to healing. In other words, all of your memories are to have happy endings and live happily ever after. If you have memories that are not living happily ever after, you need to get them completed because that's that. People tells me, say, well, you just need to forget about it. Well, you can't forget about it because that part of you is like God and you can't forget it. But you can bring the memory into completion. Can you see the importance of taking our sin to the cross? Is so that those memories, you see what the enemy does, he uses the part about us that's the most like God to kill us. He doesn't want us to get it. The reason Jesus died was so He could bring a completeness to our fallen memories. Therefore, empowering you to be who God created you to be. Is anybody like God on because of that? Can you? Do you see it? Have I even said it in a way that I'm doing? I can't tell. All right, let me know if I'm doing it. I can't tell. I used to see your faces, but I got these lights. I must be sprouting and growing, I guess, because I've never seen so much life. Now, I want you to, as a prophetic people, your memories, all your memories have to have a happy ending so that you can concentrate on the voice of God. You can't have all of this disturbance of, well, you remember what you did. You're not worthy to follow and work with God. Who are you? What do you think you're doing? You're inadequate. You can't do that. Yeah, all of these memories, these voices come out of broken memory. That's why they have a hook. That's the hook. So, go ahead and just get it. You're going to remember it. But God gets to have the last word on your memory. Why? Because you were created in His image to be the remembering one. So God did something about it. The word Zachar means to make a memorial, make remembrance. In the King James Bible, which I tend to use, and I throw that in there every now and then, because I remember why. That word Zachar is used 233 times. The remembering one in Scripture is used 233 times. I'll show you a few places. Now, here is a place I want to show you, just a few Scripture here, on God remembering. Genesis 8:1. And God remembered Noah. Don't you think Noah's glad? And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. In other words, the waters came down. Why did the flood cease? Because God remembered. Now here's what I'm wanting you to you're going to, you know how this deal thing works in the prophetic. You got to catch it. You got to catch what I can't say it all. It's spirit. So you got to catch it. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. Because God remembered, the power of God was hidden in his remembrance. God didn't just say, okay, wind, quit it. No, God had to go back within himself into remembrance, and there, because he remembered, it equaled an action which was propelled by power, which then he turned around to the water and wind and told it to behave, but the power is stored in the memory of God. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? My point, there's power in the memory. It's not just something you remembered that lays there generically with nothing on it. Everything's on it. That's the reason you've got to bring healing to bad memory, because they have been empowered and the spirits of darkness are using the voices of the power that's in your remembrance. Amen, sister? God said that. It's His image. You got to get it. Where's the power of God hidden? In my hands or body? No. In my memory. And it's so therefore I go there. It's the reason your memories need to be redeemed. Because there is where the power is hidden. God remembered Noah. Look here in Genesis 9. And I will remember my covenant. Listen to me. God's covenant is not God's covenant because he made the covenant. What causes God's covenant to withstand time is because he remembers. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you. And every living creature of all flesh in the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So when God gets up in the morning, He remembers. I was preparing this and I said, Lord, have you forgotten? It has rained all fall and all winter and I can't get my corn planted. Lord, remember! You might think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Because in my prayer I say, God, remember this covenant you made with Noah. A personal relationship with God means a personal relationship with God. Forever. So if you're in a personal relationship with God, it's okay to say, God, do you remember? Let me move on before I get hung right there. Strength is activated when we remember. That's the reason in your bad memory that they have strength to them. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night and you're paralyzed of fear. Because the powers of darkness have captured your memories that are not healed. Your memories that have not let God have the last word. Judges, it says this, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson asked God to remember him. Now listen, I don't really think God forgot it, but there's something tied when we ask God to remember us or remember something. It has something to do with how earnest we are for God to hear. So it's that earnest, it's in that point of being earnest. There's one thing, say, oh God, I pray for this and pray for that and God, and I pray. But you say, listen, if you were a child and you ran to your daddy and say, Daddy, don't you remember? It's not that the daddy forgot, but it sure does show that the child is really earnest in its petition. Are you there now? So we see here that this strength for Samson, he was asking God, will you remember? Now, remembering strength, how does it work? To Zachar is to use your whole being. Now watch this one. To be a Zachar, to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, is to use your whole being to engage in whatever action that remembrance requires. Amen. Say, Alan, I think I got it. I think I got it. All right. To be this remembering one that God created us to be in Genesis means that you have said yes. What causes this seed to grow? It's saying yes with everything within it. Saying yes to everything, mind, body, soul, hands, feet, ears. Says yes to what I'm remembering. In other words, God, because He remembered, did Samson get his strength back? Yes. Why? Because God gave it to him. Why did God give it to him? Because He remembered His promise to Samson. Why? God remembered. And since God remembered, You see, God can't remember anything but what it equals an action. He don't have to think about it. He just remembered it. You see, as mere mortals, we think because we remember something, then we can pick and choose if we're going to do it. A Zakar, or the remembering one, is one who has memories that have been healed of God, and when they remember it, they act on it. You see how we get in this dilemma of remembering, but this equals more pain? What if every time you remembered your pain and then how God healed you of it, that you acted on it? Look out, devil. God's people are on the loose because they remembered what you did for them. And when they remember what you did for them, we know that's where the power's at. And not only that, they have said yes to acting on what they're remembering. In other words, you are going to act off of what you remembered, whether it's healed or not. Now, is anybody interested? Are you still with me? All right. When God remembered Noah, he made a wind blow over the earth and the waters subside. In other words, when God remembered, it equaled something. It was powerful, too. I think causing the wind to die down the water, that's a pretty big deal when it's over the whole earth. And the only thing God did was remembered it. You see here? Is anybody catching what I'm saying prophetically? The only thing he did was remembered. Then it equaled an action. Here's one from the enemy. It'll all work out. Yeah, how's that one working for you? Why do we have intercessors? Seem a little too bold to me. Sit around trying to remind God everything he promised all the blame time. But God, you said this. But God, what about this? But God. You ever walked in on an intercessor crowd when they're doing that? You go, oh, gosh, I'll tell God what to do. That's what intercessors do. They remind God. Gosh, I felt something right there, and I don't think it was the air conditioner. In the Bible, remembering is not just a recollection of memory. Now watch this one. But is a focus upon the memory that results in an action. Let's do it again. In the Bible, this is the Zakars, the remembering ones. If you say yes to being who you've been created to be, the Bible is not just a recollection of memory. That's what we think it is. It's just a recollection of memory. Well, if you're a Zakar, but it is a focus upon the memory that results in an action. Now, we're taking it from the soul to spirit here. In other words, if you were healed of cancer, you're healed of lung cancer. Somebody comes in and say, I've got lung cancer. You're like, I've got a memory there. God healed me. Well, if you're a Zakar, you have been created to take action on that memory. You don't wait to be moved. You done been moved when you had it. Somebody comes in with cancer of the lung, and you've been healed of cancer of the lung. You're a Zakar, and because you're a Zakar, you have a memory of God healing you. And when you have that memory, that's your go word. That's your go word. Before the service is over, before they get gone, you go up and say, I've had lung cancer. Can I pray for you? That's where the power is. It's in your memory. Somebody say, Alan, I got it, but I'm scared. It's in your memory. In the Bible, remembering is not just a recollection of memory, but is a focus upon the memory that results in the action. In other words, God said, God had a remembering point with Noah. He said, oh, yeah, I remember the promise made to Noah. Because I remember that, God focused on his promise to Noah. If you've been healed of lung cancer, you focus. You don't worry about if you're out of line or if you think you're too bold. You don't worry about nothing. You focus. You remember that day that you was laying there and God touched you. And you know what it felt like. It's like she's almost out of your body. It's like you had never felt like that before. You have, well, maybe I was half, I don't know. You focus. And when you go pray for that person, you focus. Not on hoping God will come. You focus on what God did for you through your memory. So you're praying for, oh God, I remember the day you touched my lung in cancer. I remember the day that you healed me. I remember. And it's in the remembering that the power of the Zakars lie. Now, what have I got next? God remembered Noah by doing something. Why do you give a birthday present? To remember their birthday equals a present. You do something. What's a present got to do with Nate's birth? You remember. A Zakar's remembering equals actions. Remembrance is the beginning of a divine act. So therefore, to forget is to stop any divine action. You can say, I'm just trying to forget it. Well, how's that working for you? I just want to forget it. In every remembrance is a place of power to change things. So therefore, everything that you forget is a place that a divine act has been lost. That's just the way it is. I can't help it. I don't care how bad your memory is, it's got to be redeemed. It's got to be healed. I'm sorry. It all happened to all of you. Listen, everybody in life has had more than they can handle. If we hadn't, we wouldn't need God. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a tragedy. Everybody. Don't feel like God's picking on you because he's not. If you've got more tragedy, you've just got more memory to be redeemed, and so therefore you can be operational in more divine acts than anybody. Now, come on, I'm telling y'all the truth. The Bible says, too much it's been, what? Forgiven? Come on. If you've been forgiven much, there's going to be more required of you. There's more power of memory, deep memory in you. Doesn't make sense. You can't get it at Walmart. Doesn't make a bit of sense. But it's the spiritual truth. Now, so don't let the enemy use your... You can say, well, Alan, my children's not walking with God and this is going on, da 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 da. Listen, that's not the last memory. Go ahead and take your children to the cross. Say, God, my last memory is yours of my children. So therefore, I will continue to serve you and serve them. I will continue to pray to you and pray for them. Because I will not fear their outcome. Because I have given them their outcome to you. I just want to be a vessel of redeemed memory. Some of you need redeemed memory of disappointment. Well, I thought if I followed God, this wouldn't happen. It ain't over yet. Listen, your problems will wear you out. Your problems, you can't lick them. You can only stick them to the cross of Christ. It's our only hope. But understand, please understand this. Fear is trying to write prophetic memory on the outcome of your bad situation. Do not let fear write the last word. Because memory is where the power lies. You can empower it. Empower every memory you have with the cross of Christ. That's where redemption lies. Now, boy, I hadn't gotten anywhere I wanted to get. When God forgets, He doesn't engage in a certain action. Oh. When God remembers, He does. God, I know one thing He forgot, and He says He has thrown your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. You see, God has to do that. Anybody getting it? God, so you take it to the cross, He throws your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. See, when you forget something, it equals no divine action. But divine action is hidden, the power of it in remembrance. I'm getting most of this off a fly. I don't know what God's trying to say here this morning. Now, has God forgotten? It is 16 minutes after 10, and I've got a psalm to do here. And I've got evidently 3 weeks more stuff on this. So you're going to have to come back next week, please. But I want you to see. Now, I want you to see what the psalmist here says, David says. Psalm 77. I want you to read it with me here. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I cried out to God. You see that? I cried out to God, hear me, help. I sought the Lord all night, and I was not comforted. He said, I remember you, God. And I groaned, I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days. Here David was in distress, no comfort. He was up all night, being tormented. He cried out to God, where are you, God? Then he said, I remember. I remember God. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. You're in distress. Head over heels. Distress over children. They're grown up. You remember back what the Lord told you about those children. You remember back to the former days. Yeah, that's right. Can you see how the power's in the remembrance? I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. It's the memory. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? You see what he's saying here? Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Can you see what David was saying? Then I thought, hi, he took a think. Good move. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. He's in distress, everything's going wrong, doesn't seem like God's moving. Where are you, God? He said, I took a think. I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his hand. Can you see that? He was remembering back when God moved. Why did he remember back when God moved? Because there lies the power, and that power turns into an action. You remember back when God moved. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. So what do we do in these times of thinking, God, you've forsaken us. God, are you going to let me lose my faith? Surely you'll move. Well, take a think. Remember. Remember back. And when you remember back, when God moved, he said, to this I will appeal. You don't lay there and you're rolling around in despair. Oh, God, pat me on the back and touch me if you can. You got to change something, God, before I can change. No. We change and it changes because the power of the Zakars, the created ones like God, is in our memory. Appeal. Remember back to when God moved. Okay, I'm in a bad shape right now, God. But I'm going to appeal to you by remembering back to what you've done. About your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. He was remembering and he was speaking what he remembered about God because the power to change things is hidden in the remembrance. The waters saw you, God. John, shut that door, please. Excuse me, I hate to call somebody out. Just so I can frame right here just a minute. I know I got to go. The waters saw you, God. Where was that there? Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people. The descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, God. The water saw you in rift. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. David was remembering when God moved in his moment of distress. He started speaking. He started taking an action on his memory of what God had done. You've been healed of lung cancer. Come by, somebody comes in, say they got lung cancer. You remember when God touched you and healed you. You've already got the go word. They're just like you. So when they get out, before they get out and say, I've had it, can I pray for you? In other words, you're acting off of your memory because there lies the power because you're a Zakar. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. When God remembers man is where we'll pick up next week. What I want you to see in this psalm is David was in a place of distress. We all are. We all got them. We'll have more. Listen, people have said to me, Alan, when will it let up? When you get to glory. But not a moment sooner. That's right. You don't come to Jesus and it get easier down here. I'm just as sorry as I can be. But if you come to Jesus, He'll show you how to be a Zachar, the created man in the image of God. God's looking for a church that people will rise up. They'll be honest in their distress. But the way they deal with it is they remember when God moved on their behalf. And they start speaking it back to God. God, do you remember? You remember when you promised me this child? You remember when you da-da-da-da-da whatever, this job? The power of the prophetic is hidden in the memory. God is prophetic. God operates off of His memory. I'm going to show you, hopefully next week, I'm going to show it to you. You can see it. How God created His memory before it even happened. Listen, this ride is wild. What I'm telling you is the truth. You test it. All right, I'm not done, but we're going to quit right there. Let's stand.